coming to you live-ish from the beautiful rolling hills of the Eastern Townships. I am your host, Matt McCray, and this is The Show. Thank you for tuning in to 88.9 CJMQ, The Cube. We had an awesome weekend and start to our week here in the townships as August comes to a close and September rolls in. We had Rory McIlroy cashing in at the FedEx Cup. Brooks Henderson played some good golf over the weekend, but unfortunately fell short in a tie for third. NFL preseason continued. MLB playoff race has tightened and the U.S. Open is underway at Flushing Meadows in New York. All this and more here on The Show.
Well, Homer, I guess you're the winner by default.
Default! Woohoo! The two sweetest words in the English language. Default! Default! Default!
Where'd you get that anyway?
Sent away.
Hello. This certainly isn't how I envisioned this or planned this. But I am going to retire. This is not an easy decision. Honestly, it's the hardest decision of my life. But it is the right decision for me. For the last 4 years or so, I've been in this cycle of injury, pain, rehab, injury, pain, rehab. And it's been unceasing and relenting, unrelenting, both in season, both in and off season. And I felt stuck in it. And the only way I see out is to no longer play football. It's taken my joy of this game away, I've been stuck in this process. I haven't been able to live the life I want to live. Taking the joy out of this game. And after 2016, where I played in pain and was unable to regularly practice, I made a vow to myself that I would not go down that path again. I find myself in a similar situation. And the only way forward for me is to remove myself from football in this cycle that I've been in. Come to the proverbial fork in the road. And I made a vow to myself that if I ever did again, I would choose me in a sense. It's very difficult. I love this team. I love my teammates, the folks in our building, the fans, the game of football. And as part of this team, as a member of this team, and because of how I feel, I know that I am unable to pour my heart and soul into this position, which would not only sell myself short, but the team in the end as well.
Great on defense, made some plays on special teams, kicker played well. Offensively, not well at all. Just not good enough, you know. Starts with me and goes from there. We got to be able to make plays against a team that's going to line up and play cover one, and it's a lot of one-on-ones. We got to be able to make plays. It's little things. Well, we'll see on tape. I'm not happy with some of my throws, but we'll see. We just got to have all the little details ironed out. And, you know, it doesn't matter who's in there. It's like I say, we got to be able to click whoever's in there.
And we're back. And there you have a clip. Very sad clip. The lead news over the weekend. Saturday night, Andrew Luck announced that he is retiring at the age of 29. Set to turn 30. It's September 12th this year. He's just, as you heard in this press conference, there were tears. He was discouraged, just injury after injury. So another one bites the dust. The physical toll of the six seasons with, if you look down the injury list, he had torn cartilage in two ribs, partially torn abdomen, lacerated kidney. He was peeing blood. At least one diagnosed concussion that they say. There's torn labrum in his throwing shoulder, and now this calf ankle issue that led him to retirement. And of course, the saddest news of all is that the best Twitter account that's out there, which is at Captain Andrew Luck, the Civil War style Twitter account. For instance, the last one that he sent out upon hearing Andrew Luck retired. The quill has never felt more heavy. Or, dearest mother, the quill has never felt more heavy. I have made the decision to holster my sidearm permanently. I shall battle no more. The decision is difficult, but But as in the boys have taught me, I must be true to myself. I'm coming home to you and the farm. Dearest Andrew. Which, if you look at that, I didn't do that justice, but it's just some of the best at Captain Andrew Luck. Before game day, there would be some excellent examples about comparisons going to battle if we were against the Bears or the name of the opposing teams. Just some sad news out there that Andrew Luck has to announce his retirement. So he joins the elusive club, guys like Calvin Johnson for the Detroit Lions, Barry Sanders, Tiki Barber. We're going to get into that a little bit later on in the show. Other things that transpired over the weekend, Rory McIlroy was the big winner at the FedEx Cup. The highest payday ever in sports history. He won $15 million. We're going to get into to Rory and Brooks Koepka and all the boys that were there. No Tiger Woods, unfortunately. It was 30 of the world's top golfers. We're all getting together there. And also there was a little Baker Mayfield at the end, discouraged after losing to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in preseason. The Browns hype is still real. Obviously, it's still just preseason. A lot of the starters are resting. But there were some exciting sports. Brooks Henderson shot a 65 on Saturday to really charge. She had an on-fire back nine, had a high five from a little kid spectator, and it really sparked her game. Unfortunately, finished in a tie for third. Again, we'll get into that a little later on in the show. But thank you for joining me here on 88.9 in the airwaves here on this lovely day in the Eastern Townships. Without further ado, we're going to get this started with First and 10. Number one, with Andrew Luck retiring at the age of 29, is this a new element slash trend in sports in 2019? Yes and no. In the past, it was always players that were still in their prime, guys like Barry Sanders or Calvin Johnson. They both played for teams like the Detroit Lions, and they were just basically sick of losing. So they thought about the physical toll that it was going to take on their body. Andrew Luck was just sick of rehabbing his injuries. He had a bad offensive line for a number of years, and I think it just caught up with him. I mean, he's in the same category now as his fellow draft year mate, RG3. They had similar injury issues. One was for running out of the pocket and not sliding enough, and Luck, unfortunately, He just took a pounding. He put up great numbers when he was in there, but he was battling through injuries, throwing nerf balls. It was a hard six seasons on him when he was coming out with so much hype coming into the NFL draft. Tiki Barber also went that way historically, but I think players were turned off from that as well. I mean, it was a stroke of bad luck. Barber left because he had an opportunity in the broadcast booth. Turned out it wasn't a good decision because turns out he wasn't any good at either play-by-play, color commentary, pregame, postgame, or anything that involved a microphone. So then, to add insult to injury, his New York Giants went on the very next year to win the Super Bowl, upsetting the New England Patriots, not making him look very well, and his fellow teammate at the time, Michael Strahan, looked like a genius who's just gone from his own morning show to Good Morning America and upwards, where while Tiki still maybe is now known as Rondé Barber's brother. But just getting back to Andrew Luck, it's unfortunate, but at least he has the confidence to know when to hang it up and when he's not emotionally in there. I mean, he's still a young man. He's still made a lot of money playing football. I mean, good for him. Best of luck to him as he rides off into the sunset. Let's just not hope it's a Brett Favre situation where we see desperate teams looking for a quarterback trying to get him to come off the couch numerous times. It may not be the last we've seen of Andrew Luck. Number two, Novak Djokovic. Ready to take the U.S. Open? Yes or no? I think Djokovic looks good. I mean, he traditionally does pretty well there. He's won four out of the last five majors. I mean, he's 32 years old. He looks great. He's won 16 majors total. Nadal has 18, and Federer is atop with 20. Joker battled through a blister at his right foot pregame, but it's a minor thing. But of course, Federer is going to be there. Nadal is going to be there. I think it's the big three again going into the U.S. Open, but you got to give it to Djokovic. Joker just seems to really play well and really have the stamina to be able to stand up against these guys, and he's just got the younger legs. So if he's healthy, I think Djokovic is a great bet going into the U.S. Open. Milos Ruud, I don't know if he's going to withdraw medically, how he's going to do. I wouldn't expect too much out of too many Canadians. I think there's a Canadian matchup right out of the gate, so we're at least going to see a second round. But again, U.S. Open traditionally, it's been the major guns that have come out swinging there. Number three, who's going to win on the women's side of the U.S. Open? Wow. I mean, you got to root for the Canadian, Bianca Andreescu, only 19 years old. She had health issues all year. She's finally healthy and coming off a big win here in Canada. So hopefully she can keep that momentum rolling. There's the Australian Ash Barty. When asked in a press conference who she thinks going to win, she said she doesn't know. So there's Serena Williams. She is always going to be a force. The fans are going to be behind her. There's Halep. Jeannie is in the mix. You never know. But it's going to be interesting. And just to watch out for some tennis this week. There's going to be some amazing tennis being played down in New York and Flushing Meadows. Always is. The crowds are going to be energized. The celebrities are going to be there watching. So good on them. Good for the ladies, good for the men, and look for the number one seeds to come in through into the finals, because traditionally that's a spot on those courts that the number ones tend to play their best tennis. Number four, the Montreal Alouettes are rolling. Is Kahari Jones the reason? Should we give him the credit? Yeah, I guess so. I've been looking at the standings. Hamilton 8-2 atop the division. Montreal, nice second half comeback against the Alouettes over the weekend. So they're at 5-4. Ottawa 3-7. Toronto at abysmal 1-7. So I mean, they're second in the division. They're going to make the playoffs. You look over on the other side, it's a little tighter. Winnipeg is atop the division 8-2. Then there's Saskatchewan, Edmonton, Calgary behind them, and then BC a lowly 1-9. So, I mean, they're going to be a force. They seem to finally have worked out their quarterback issue. I still don't see them as being big guns in the CFL, but the CFL, you never really know. If you play well on defense and then your offense can click, your quarterback can move on that bigger field, then I'm giving them a chance. I'm giving the CFL a chance. Whenever we get closer and closer to September, I start to tune into the CFL. Let's go, les Alouettes. Number five, Yevgeny Kunetsov has been banned by Russian hockey and sports for 4 years for testing positive for cocaine. He will still play with the Capitals. That will not be affected, but he'll have a four-year ban from playing any kind of Russian Olympic hockey, Russian world hockey. He just took part in the world championships for Russia, says he loves playing for his country. He's going to take the rap on the knuckles. I guess he just likes to party. I think it's still a big deal. You shouldn't be over there, and you should be aware that you're going to be drug tested. Let's just say, we talked about Icarus on the sports documentary episode with Zach Vanoss. If the Russian sports authorities are coming down on you and banning you for something, ooh, you screwed up. These guys have been cheating since the good old days. So take your medicine, Kunetsov. And, it's unfortunate, but c'est la vie. Moving on, number six. Number six, Brooke Henderson. I believe I've been saying Brooks. Brooke Henderson, 21-year-old Canadian golf phenom, shot a 65 on Saturday, made a charge at the leaderboard, got off to a slow start on Sunday, ended up tying for third. Jin Young Ko was the winner, shooting minus 26. So Henderson shot minus 19 overall. That's good for Canadian golf. I mean, 21 years old is a baby in golf years. You have a lot to learn. That's great experience. So yay on Canadian golf. Anybody who can make a splash in Canadian golf, we're at a severe disadvantage with our weather. But good on Henderson for getting some Canadian golfers in the news and being relevant. So good on her. Keep at it. Hope she gets lots of sponsorship dollars. And the future is bright, especially on the female side in golf. Number seven, Bishop's University Gators lose 53-13 at Acadia. Expectations for the season. I don't know much about university football. I don't follow it that much. I know the Gators changed to the East Coast League, and they play a lot against Acadia and schools on the East Coast. I wish them the best of luck. I think they're very well coached. They work very hard. The best that I know is that if you go to homecoming, there's going to be a good tailgate. There's going to be good home crowds. There's going to be people there supporting you. I know they've worked very, very hard. So I wish them the best of luck. That's a bit of a tough loss kicking off in the season, this preseason. Best of luck in the season going in. And expectations are 500. Shoot for 500. Number eight. With six people injured at the Eastlake Golf Club over the weekend on Saturday afternoon. Lightning struck the top of a tree near the 15th green in the 16th tee, shattered bark all the way down the trunk with debris flying, hitting four people and other people dropping to the ground. The third round was suspended on Saturday. That's a scary incident that six people were injured when lightning is hitting a tree. I can't believe they're still playing in these conditions. It's just a bit of a shocker. Not really much of an opinion on it other than why are they on the golf course when that's going on? I mean, the golfers are swinging around metal sticks. I mean, there's some graphite and stuff in them, but I mean, that's still dangerous. That's just a scary story. But again, that was a huge payday for Rory McIlroy over the weekend. $15 million prize, playing for the largest sum prize in sports history. Millions of dollars just showered all the way down the leaderboard. Again, we're going to talk about that a little later in the Titanium Takes. We're going to talk about the state of golf and the end of the Tiger era and all these basically Tiger babies that probably call him Mr. Woods these days. And then the sponsorship being better than ever in golf. Good on them. Everyone stay safe out there. Hope no one was hurt too bad. I don't think so. If you're on a golf course, I mean, it can't be too bad. I mean, hopefully people weren't injured, but that's kind of like Caddyshack-esque, the fact that people are getting hit by lightning under trees. That's crazy. Number nine. Ronda Rousey nearly loses a finger while filming a scene. It was a scene for a show, 911, and I think she was on a boat playing a cop or probably a Navy SEAL, security guard, undercover SEAL officer. I don't know, but she almost lost her middle finger. Door slammed shut on top of the finger. She didn't really react at first, was in shock. If you see the pictures on her Instagram account, her and her boyfriend Travis Brown, who now live on a farm, she's retired from WWE. She did a year contract, almost a whole year as the champion. She doesn't fight MMA anymore. They have a farm with all kinds of animals, and I guess this 911 show was her newest project, and it almost cost her a middle finger. But she said due to the awesome advances in medicine, that the fingers is fine. Within minutes of arriving at the hospital, it was sewn back on. 50% feeling and mobility had been regained, and I think just with exercises, I mean, she may not be able to have feeling, and it may feel cold to the touch now, but I mean, at least she gets to keep her finger. It was hanging on by a thread. Really gross for those queasy at home, but for those MMA, WWE, TMZ, what is Ronda Rousey up to these days? Almost losing her middle finger. Rescue 911, which, you know, I mean, that could be a good wrestling angle when she comes back. Moving on. Number 10. We are heating up and in the heart of fantasy NFL season. Who are you going to draft? Who's in your top 10, 15? Who are you looking at? Here we go. I haven't had that much success in fantasy. A lot of people do much better than me. It's all about the running backs from what I can see. Everyone's talking about Saquon Barkley for the New York Giants. He's going to be heavy, a lot of possessions. Kamara down in New Orleans, even though he doesn't get all the primary touches, he really takes advantage with those hooks out of the backfield. And I mean, he's got Drew Brees throwing him the football, so he's always dangerous. He always posts big numbers. McCaffrey in Carolina, Nick Chubb, Connor in Pittsburgh, Ezekiel Elliott, if he does play. There's David Johnson in Phoenix. That's always a tough call. I mean, how are they going to play? Who's a quarterback? Is he going to get so many touches that he's worthwhile? Bell is in New York now. And then you go to the wide receiver position. You got Odell Beckham Jr., Hopkins, Edelman, QB. You got Mahomes, Mayfield. I mean, wide receiver, you still got Julio Jones, Michael Thomas. Who are you going to pick? It's super exciting. So there you go. There's no particular order, but I did kind of put them in a particular order for you. There's some your fantasy clutch top. I mean, that's not really straying too far away. But if you do want some dark horses, look for Dion Lewis, former New England Patriot. He's just super versatile, returns punts. When he does get the ball, he's dangerous like a Kamara, but he still can take the hits up the middle. He may break out for a huge season in Tennessee. Jameis Winston in Tampa Bay. Mr. Crab Legs, stealing crab legs in college, no problem. Maybe he finally has matured, and maybe he can play some quarterback in the NFL. Look, the Jets now with Bell being in the backfield, Sam Darnold may improve some of their rookie wide receivers. Maybe worth a look. The Jets may be the real deal. I don't think they're going to contend with the Patriots at all, but they will have a decent season. I think Darnold's going to mature, and Bell's going to make a big, big, big difference for them in the backfield. So there you go. That wraps up first and 10 for today. We're going to have a brief musical interlude, and then we're going to come back on the other side with a take so hard, you can't shoot it down. It's titanium. You just can't do it. No more hot takes, hard takes here on the show. So thank you for tuning in here on 88.9. I am your host, Matt McCray. We'll be back shortly here on the show.
They all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
And welcome back. Thank you again for tuning in. 88.9 CJMQ, The Cube. That was Billie Eilish. Or in the words of Dwight K. Schrute, William Eyelash. With the hottest song in the country, finally overtaking Lil Nas X and his Old Town Road remix tune featuring Billy Ray Cyrus, Justin Bieber, Avril Lavigne. I don't know. Everybody's remixing on that these days. But Billie Eilish overtook him at number one with her song Bad Guy. She is just en fuego right now, just rising the charts. One of the most talented, creative young artists out there. She's a little out there, but she's pretty talented and pretty fantastic. So good on her. Without further ado, you know what that time of this show usually entails. Usually you hear some David Guetta with some Sia. Jazzy tune. Here we go. Titanium, Take of the Townships. I'm bulletproof, nothing to lose. Far away, ricochet, you take your aim. Far away, shoot me down, bow and fall. I am titanium. Oh, thank you so much. What a sweet, sweet tune. Today's Titanium Take of the Townships, the hard take that I'm taking, the line I'm drawing in the sand, is that golf is better now than it was in the Tiger era. Sure, it was fun to tune in and watch Tiger blow everybody away, but isn't competition what we want? I mean, technology is better, just in general. The clubs they're using, the balls they're using, watching the game is better. The technology for watching the game is better. They've got the drive tracker. They've got a putt reader. The commentators seem to be right beside the caddies. They know what club selection's going on. They know if they've taken a snack. They kind of know how the player's feeling. They know if he's seen the leaderboard. And they explain more about the game of golf to everybody more than ever. You're able to zoom in with these big TVs. You can count the blades of grass that are on there. They explain the game. The commentators that are there are just terrific. I mean, who doesn't love him some Jim Nantz during CBC? But I mean, guys like Nick Faldo, David Ferte. I mean, Mike Tirico was doing NBC coverage over the weekend on golf, and he's flipping over to do football in a little over a week. So, I mean, good on them. I mean, Jim Miller does a great job. The commentators are great. Tiger still has flashes of brilliance. I mean, we got to see him at Augusta, kind of shades of old Tiger. It's not really going to be a habit, especially with the condensed schedule. I've talked a lot about that. But guys like Brooks Koepka, Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, Fowler, Spieth, Rose, Poulter. I mean, Sergio is pretty much done too. He never really rose. Justin Rose. Rose to Tiger and give him a rival that we really thought that he might be. So the Tiger era is dead. It's over and gone. Just be nostalgic. I assume most of the kids on the tour these days call Tiger Mr. Woods anyways. They don't even know if his name is Eldrick. I don't know. They grew up big Tiger fans. They were all huge Tiger fans. So this, I've said this a couple times already too, but Rory McIlroy just cashed in $15 million winning the FedEx Cup, the largest in sports history. Just if you run down the leaderboard to see McIlroy finishing first, $15 million, $5 million for second. Scheifele won that. Koepka got $4 million for third. Thomas, $3.5 million. Paul Casey, $2.5 million. I mean, if you finished in eighth place, you got $1.1 million. That's a huge payday. That's all thanks to Tiger Woods, but it's all thanks to these guys, the social media era. I mean, aside from a little bit of bad press and some guys kind of being jerks, I mean, all we hear out of the PGA is, you know, Duffnering was a thing for a while. Dustin Johnson is married to Paulina Gretzky and having children with the daughter of the great one. So that's always fun when he comes to Canada, the RBC Open. That's one of his major sponsors. Golf commercials are better than they are. Reality TV shows on the Golf Channel are better than they've ever been. I finally did check out that documentary, The 30 for 30 on John Daly. Was amazing. But golf is better now in the Tiger era. The coverage is better. Just everything is better. So I don't know why everyone is so nostalgic for the Tiger era to come back. It's long gone, and it was boring. I mean, Sundays were fun to sit down and watch Tiger crush everybody. But isn't it a little more fun to see them, you know, tied up coming home? Even Rory kind of walked away with it, but he had back-to-back bogeys. And the room was there for Scheifele and Koepka and even Thomas to move up the leaderboard and catch him, and just wasn't able to. So, as I say, wrap up the Titanium Take of the Townships today. Golf is better now, people. Embrace it. Pick a star. Embrace a star. Cheer for him. Brooks Koepka is a great one. I mean, he's just in shape. He's great with the media. Loves joking around. He's so dry that you don't really know if he's serious. Kind of like a NBC The Office tone to his interviews. We're not sure if he's serious or if he's kidding when he says he doesn't practice. I'm pretty sure he's serious. He's just naturally really good. And rest over rust. It's a time off and a tale that's always, you know, do you want to be playing a lot to be in peak form or do you want to be well rested but still rusty? So anyways, golf is better today. That's my titanium take of the townships here on 88.9 CJMQ The Cube. I'm bulletproof, nothing to lose. Fire away, fire away. Ricochet, you take your aim. Fire away, fire away. Shoot me down, bow and bow. I am titanium.
What an incredible Cinderella story, this unknown comes out of nowhere to lead the pack at Augusta. He's on his final hole. He's about 455 yards away. He's going to hit about a 2-iron, I think. Well, he got all of that. The crowd is standing on his feet here at Augusta. The normally reserved Augusta crowd going wild for this young Cinderella, who's come out of nowhere. He's got about 350 yards left. He's going to hit about a 5-iron, I expect, don't you think? He's got a beautiful backswing. He got all of that one. He's got to be pleased with that. The crowd is just on his feet here. He's a Cinderella boy. Tears in his eyes, I guess, as he lines up this last shot. He's got about 195 yards left, and looks like he's got about an 8-iron. This crowd has gone deadly silent. Cinderella story, out of nowhere. A former greenskeeper now about to become.
Any questions?
Not bad.
Oh, it's gonna be like that, huh? Ah, someone wants to play.
He's trying to keep up with the old guy, you know?
Dude, is that your real hair?
Is that all you got? Go. I just can't miss today. Do you ever get days like that? Hey, Tiger, you looking?
Welcome back to the live-ish edition of the show. I'm your host, Matt McRae. That was some Justin Randall Timberlake, Señorita. Right around after our titanium take of the townships, our golf take of the day. So for Take Me Home today, we're going to go a little throwback edition. Things you notice when you listen to yourself on the radio. I have to stop saying the words edition, retro, just little things. There it is again. Anyways, without further ado, we have a couple of clips here. One is just a crowd favorite, Stone Cold Steve Austin. You've been seeing him a lot. He appeared on the anniversary edition of Raw not too long ago, a few weeks ago. And he's got a new show, Straight Up Steve Austin. So here we're going to have a little ode to Stone Cold. I just think he's hilarious. He was on that YouTube show where the celebrities go on and they eat chicken wings with the host. The name of the show is on there. I think it's Hot Ones. And he's just awesome, articulate. He's a great interview. I watched the first edition of Straight Up Steve Austin, and I enjoyed it. I mean, he was driving a Jeep that was on the road, then he was driving through the water. They went to a brewery and drank beer and played cake bowling. And Stone Cold is just a very intriguing individual. And for a guy who got hit in the head a lot, he has an awful lot to say and some good insight. He's funny. And again, it's not really huge celebrity guests because it's still only Stone Cold Steve Austin, but hopefully the show gains momentum. So just here's a Stone Cold eating chicken wings and just the introduction to the show. And then this is only the first couple minutes of the show, but check it out. It's about 30 minutes long and it's hilarious. So here's a Stone Cold Steve Austin, former WWF champion, eating hot chicken wings.
I was actually timing my heartbeat. I'm thinking, something's about to go wrong here. If my heartbeat hits about 150, something's wrong. These aren't laced with amphetamines, are they?
No.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? From First Meat Feast, I'm Sean Evans, and you're watching Hot Ones. It's the show with hot questions and even hotter wings. And today we close out season 9 with Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's a six-time WWF World Heavyweight Champion and WWE Hall of Famer. You can catch him on the award-winning podcast, The Steve Austin Show, and he also has a new TV show. It's called Straight Up Steve Austin. Catch it Mondays, 11:10 Central, after Monday Night Raw on the USA Network. Stone Cold, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here, man. It's going to be a hell of an extravaganza. I don't know what I've just gotten myself into, but I'm ready to go with you.
Well, I know that you're an Edna, Texas boy. How do you handle your spice?
Man, in my environment back in the day, I was the toughest SOB in the history of the WWE. Here in front of you, I might be the biggest sissy you've ever had on the show. That remains to be seen, and that's what we're about to find out. Oh, it's already on there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, see, that's good.
So, as a show that forces scorching hot chicken wings on our guests, we're super interested in this movement towards experiential celebrity interviews. Do you think all those years clicking with wrestlers in the ring, do you think that gives you an advantage when it comes to building chemistry with a TV show or podcast guest?
You know, being Stone Cold Steve Austin back in the day, a lot of people think, man, this guy's a little bit wound up. He's a little bit over the edge. He's crazy. You know, he's always mad. He drinks a lot. I drink a little bit. But I enjoy meeting people. I enjoy talking to people, and I'm curious by nature. The more you do something, the better you get at it. So I'm hoping this season catches on so I can apply what I've learned this season into another season and keep going from there. But I don't think being a WWE superstar necessarily, you know, made me a natural at it.
Pretty good. It's pretty, 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 pretty good.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Stone Cold Steve Austin eating red hot chicken wings. That can be found on YouTube, that show Hot Ones. It's great. They had Gordon Ramsay on there eating chicken wings, dropping F-bombs. I didn't have any of the swear words. I edited it out, but it's not really PG-13. So here on Take Me Home, I have another favorite stand-up comedian that I figured that might be good. Here is an appearance that he did last year on the Dan Patrick Show. Which is a nationally televised simulcast where it's a radio show, but they also televise it on TV. It's an excellent concept. It's one of my heroes, one of my inspirations is Dan Patrick, Daniel Theodore Patrick. And Frank Caliendo is on like their guest walk Hall of Fame. So they just kind of, beginning of the clip, they run through Frank's top 10 impressions. And then Frank tells a story. He's friends with Phoenix, Arizona GM, because he's got a sports niche in there. For any sports fans in there, he does some of the ESPN insiders. He's just very, very talented impressionist. So, I mean, if you listen on the radio, he just jumps from character to character. Jay Farrell, the former cast member of SNL, is another very talented one who does like Eddie Murphy, Denzel, and he just jumps through. Well, Caliendo came before Farrell, and he's just an impressionist, gets me every single time. So our throwback clip in honor of the NFL starting shortly. Preseason wrapping up and coming to an end. All the fantasy drafts that are out there, everyone wrapping up the fantasy drafts. Oh, and before that, my own personal insider, my producer, Mr. TG Softball, Mr. Terrence James, texted me, and we were thinking and getting our creative juices flowing, and we said, what about trading Manning Jr.? What if Eli goes now to Indianapolis to be quarterback for the Colts? Because I don't think Jacoby Brissett is going to cut the mustard as a starter. I mean, he's had his experience, but he's no Jimmy G. He's no Jimmy Garoppolo. He was third string behind Brady and those guys. So maybe see Manning go and play for his older brother's old team, leaving room for Jones in New York. Who knows? Who knows what the New York Giants can do? Anything can happen. But you may have heard it here first. That may have already gone down by as of Wednesday. So, you know, a little peek behind the curtain. This show is live-ish. It's pre-recorded. It's just over the weekend. But I'm predicting perhaps Eli goes. Maybe by Wednesday he's already going to go there. Maybe that rumor is already going to be kiboshed. But we started talking about it over the weekend, and it would only make sense. So our little throwback clip is Frank Caliendo on the Dan Patrick Show, running through his impressions, and then just a little throwback football for our Take Me Home clip of the day here on the show, 88.9 CJMQ.
This is Morgan Freeman at 10.
That's a good one, Sonny.
Robert De Niro at 9.
I don't know.
8, Stephen A. Smith.
I have to say I'm incredulous to this entire situation. I understand what's going on the ping pong table.
The entire cast of Seinfeld.
What are you talking about? I have no idea. Hey, Jerry, that's a good one.
You don't do Elaine?
Jerry.
Al Pacino.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Robin Williams.
Oh, so sad.
That's weird because you do that. I do the Robin Williams. I don't do it in my act anymore. And people will say, do some Robin Williams. I'm like, what's going to happen is all the women are going to, I miss him.
Yeah.
Sorry.
John Gruden at number 4.
Yeah, that's a good one, man.
Charles Barkley, number 3.
See, that's what I'm talking about. I should have 2 stars, Dave. Dan. Dan. I called you Dave. I thought I was on Letterman. Why'd I call you Dave, knucklehead?
The presidents, George Bush and Bill Clinton.
Who made this list? These are some old guys. All the new impressions, people get in trouble. That's the problem.
John Madden is one.
Yeah. That's, boom. There you go. Like nobody ever puts Robert Downey Jr. Okay. There you go. Do me a favor. Enjoy yourself. Liam Neeson got in trouble. You can't do that anymore.
No, you can't.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see him in Men in Black, what the reaction's going to be there, which seems like he shouldn't even be in that. I was watching, there's another one. I was watching Chris Hemsworth, and he's going to play Hulk Hogan. Have you seen that? And all we've ever heard him do is like, Loki, my brother. Like, can you imagine that audition, what that's like? They're like, all right, try it out, Chris. Okay, let me tell you something, brother. No, it's not quite there. Can you try again? All right, I've got this. Let me tell you something, brother. No, you're still not. Oh, no, I've got it. Let me tell you something, brother. I think that's it. Okay, one more time. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, brother. You're going to train, say your prayers, and eat your vitamins like all those Hulkamaniacs out there. You got the part, but just work on it.
If you wanted to.
Okay, so it sounds like a setup for a bit, but this is true. And I didn't talk to you about this at all. This is no setup. So I'm calling Steve Keim or texting Steve Keim audio messages before. So I was before the draft, about 4 hours before the draft, because once the draft got close, I didn't hear from him for hours.
All right, so the GM of the Cardinals.
So I'm sending Steve Keim messages from John Gruden. I'll tell you what, man. I love you, brother. I got an idea. How about you draft? How about you draft somebody else at number 1? And how about you draft Joey Bosa at number 1? And then I'll draft Kyler Murray at number 4. We'll make a trade. I'll give you my 27th pick. You give me a second rounder. We have the best trade ever, man. I think it works out for both teams. So then he got that, and then he sent it on to some other people. I called him up as Jay Glazer, too. I was like, you're not going to believe this. There's unbelievable stuff going on. And you can't do Jay Glazer without swearing every 5 seconds. There's F this, F that. Steve, you got to go. And then Schefter, I called a Schefter. And the Schefter, I'm like, listen, I hear you're talking to both Ian Rappaport and Jay Glazer. And I just wanted you to know my phone is on. And if you ever need to talk to me, I'll be here. Wherever I am, in a chair, sitting perfectly upright and prepared. And then Steve sent that on to Schefter. And then Schefter texts me, look what I got from Steve Keim. What are you doing? So Schefter, who always says, I just don't hear myself when you're talking is me. I'm not sure if it's right.
But I think most people react that way, don't they?
Some do. It's funny how close some voices are, because Schefter with a cold is Ian Rappaport. It's weird. I don't know why, but they're the same guy. If you have that cadence, you become an NFL insider, unless you're Jay Glazer. And Jay Glazer's like, you want to work out? Let's work out. Good night. I'm on my way to work out. You know what I'm going to do on my way to work out? I'm going to work out. Double workout. Do you think I could play Ram Man and He-Man the movie? Do you think I could do that? I'm not even sure if I have a neck. I'm not sure.
I don't know if many people are doing Ian Rappaport, though. I mean, it's very niche.
Yeah, if you think Adam Schefter's niche, then
Schefty though is know Schefty.
It's the Simpsons world. That's what this. I've pigeonholed myself at this point. I'm actually doing Adam Schefter while trying not to do it. I've actually pigeonholed myself in a lot of ways into doing all these sports impressions that are so niche. Like nobody outside of the sports world knows Mel Kiper Jr. You know, the whole ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. And here's, every time I see McShay, he's like, you've ruined my life. I'm like, why? Because all I hear is ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. They didn't know your name before I did that. You were the other guy with Count Chocula.
But my audience, the sports audience, eats this.
Absolutely, up. Yeah. People get it. I do some weird ones too. Like I go to just to mess Rich Eisen show up. Who's a good friend, right? So I can mention that.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'll just go on and do Steve Mariucci hands. That's the whole thing. Is just do the mooch hands. He's just hey, look at my headphones are coming off. You got to take a look over here. We're going out that way, and I'm real life Chris Farley back in it.
You're messing things up here.
That's all
in the
right.
Man cave.
Yeah. All right. We're back.
Yes, we are back. Thank you very much to one Mr. Frank Caladendo. Very talented impressionist. Does a lot of great sports impressions. You can really fall into a rabbit hole talking in the Frank Caliendo clips. And he's a very, very, very entertaining guy. So there's a little throwback in honor of the news. Andrew Luck retiring from the NFL at age 29. Eli Manning going there. Maybe you heard it here first. That's straight off the top of that's Eastern Township Insider, Cleveland Browns fans. Terrence James Arbery was the one that provided me with that. So, hey, if I'm wrong, if I'm late on it, you know, them's be the breaks. So we are winding down. We've done our titanium takes. We've run through all first and tens. We've even been taken home. I'm not even going to play some John Denver today. I'm going to go back to some music that I played in earlier editions of the show, just because I had a throwback musical sports edition last Wednesday, and I've been throwing it back with some old throwback tunes. So I'm going to play all about some modern music. I mean, Justin Timberlake Sr. is not too modern, but we're going to an older, newer song from Camila Cabello. She's got a great song out there with Mendes. Anyway, it's Camila Cabello. And I'm just going to close out the show with that. But I'd like to thank you so very much for joining me here on 88.9 CJMQ, located live in the rolling hills of the Eastern Townships in Lennoxville, Quebec, just a stone's throw away from Montreal. So again, thank you for joining me here on the show. I have been your host, Matt McRae. You have been a wonderful listener. We're wrapping up yet another episode. I get sentimental every time we wrap up the show. It's very, very weird. But again, thank you so much for joining me. We'll see you every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. and Wednesdays with a piping hot new edition. The very next day from 11 a.m. to noon here on CJMQ 88.9. This is The Show. Hey.